Okay, hello. Yeah. Hey, we're the Americans here. Whoa. Yeah. Boy, we have a good time. Yeah. Wow. So I was proud to be an American when all the Americans stood up last night, huh? I don't know if that's wrong or not, but no, hey, that's no excuse or acute. Hey, no, did you see in the missions march? He asked the Americans to stand up. Huh? We stood up. Wow. Wow. Praise the Lord. The devil doesn't like us. Yeah, but he can sit on attack. Okay. What we do in here is that we just have a good time. So let's start it off. But at your table, express joy and gladness to the people at your table. Okay, that's done. We got that over with. Check that one off. Okay. Hey, we might as well, listen, we're all, you know, might as well have a good time on the way, right? The second thing is just that you're a pastor here, or just to feel free to introduce yourself and maybe, you know, people with you, share a little something on your heart if you want to, and just for the sake of recognizing the turban that we all, you know, we all have our turbans on. Check to see you got your turban on here. Mine's a little tilted. Okay, so anyway, yeah. Wait, who'd like to start? Pastor Ken, you want to? Want to start it off? Okay, this is
Miami.
Madison.
This whole week has been really amazing. Seeing old friends and making new ones, but more preciously, the Word of God and what it does to us. And how it equips us. You know, we always hear you come to get built up and charged and, you know, to be put out there again, you know. But the last couple of messages, God spoke to my heart specifically to start teaching love again within the church. I think it's so important. You know, when you read in Revelations about the church of Ephesus, you know how, you know, they lost that love, and how are we recognized? How are we recognized in our church? How are we recognized in our community? How does the city of Miami view us? You know, when we first went there, we were hit with over 17 sanctions. They wanted us to leave. They didn't want us there, but we showed love to City Hall. We showed love to them. We brought them cookies. Did we bring them cookies? Yeah, we brought them cookies. We brought and now, I mean, it's just like every one of them just started dropping off, you know. And there was still one left, you know. But that got taken care of too, and we haven't heard from them since, you know. Our right in front of our building, it's a ticket trap. The police park in between our buildings. So to make sure none of the people in the church get tickets, we go and give them coffee and water and don't, you know. But great guys, amazing guys. But Pastor Scheller, thank you for the word and preaching on love. You know, and I know we preach that, and it's in our message, and the cross is in our message, and resurrection is in our message. But it's like, wow, come back to that love. Come back and preach that love. Thank you for praying for Miami. Your prayers are deeply to our hearts, and we receive them, and we thank you, all of you. God bless.
Have any of you ever, like, backslid? Who, me? Oh, no, no, neither confirm nor deny. Okay. Okay. there's a brother that, you know, I just, you know, I just heard talked about today a little bit. 10 years, you know, and then he was on a train. He was in another country. He was on a train, and he was drunk. And then some American was sitting next to him, and the American said to him, "Do you know anything about the Bible?" And he said, "No." But here he is, you know, he does know a lot about the Bible, you know. He said, "No." Have you heard anything about God? No. But he was a backslidden, you know, he was drunk at the time, backslidden believer, you know, greater grace believer. And for, you know, way away from the Lord for 10 years. And when he got to his hotel room, he just, you know, God just spoke to him. And he just started weeping and you know, just totally broken. And the grace of God, just in his brokenness, like the grace of God just ministered to him and flooded him. And he just weeping, you know, very broken by it. And he came back. You know, he came back to God. And, you know, it's, in other words, it's easy to find guilt for somebody, you know, but it's another thing when you learn love and give grace and learn what that means, you know. And he said that in his backslidden state, like nobody called him, nobody. But God had sent somebody in another country on the train that sat next to him and just said, you know, do you know any, he didn't even minister to the guy, but God ordained it that he would lie back to him. No, I don't know anything, you know, but in the lying and in the denial, there was that amazing conviction. And when God spoke to him, he called him, he said to him, "You are my friend." God said to him, "You are my friend." And then all these doctrines came back to his mind, and all the Bible was coming back to him, and unconditional love and grace. And the goodness of God leads people to change. You know, that's a beautiful thing. Yeah, I agree. I think that the church should be known as a place of love. I think it is. I think it is. But have you ever noticed, it's easy to love people that are a little bit far away from you? You know? But then, like, the people you live with? And how about, like, even on outreach, like, we could love people out on the street. But in the church, you know, when we're closer to each other, like, that might be the more challenging thing. It's the family. It's when you're close to your family. That's when you start to have ammunition to attack or blame or accuse, you know. So what happened to the church at Ephesus is that they lost that love, you know. And we just have to, you know, make the effort to learn it. Like you said. Okay. Talk at your table about that for a minute. Ask your neighbor if you ever backslid. Let's not talk about it. It's over and gone. Or are you in a backslidden state today while you're sitting at this table? Okay. How about that subject on, like, stubborn problems, like identity, right? Have you ever had anything stubborn that you had to deal with? Okay, let's not talk about it. A stubborn stain that you can't get off your clothes. Okay, you know the spaghetti stain on the tie. Stubborn, you can't get something off. A bolt, a mechanical, you know, with a wrench and everything. You W-40, you know, wire brush, torch. You know, I'm going to deal with this thing. It's going to be, I'm going to, you know, nuclear power. Who's going to win? I'm going to win. I'm going to destroy the thing. Yeah. I mean, let's see. Have you ever had a lawnmower that could just would not start up? You know, so you just threw it over the cliff or something. Okay. Yeah, okay. Set it on fire. Yeah. Okay. Like, let's face it. Let's just face it. There are painful things that happen in life. And sometimes when we live in the shadow of them, it just is there. And let's just face it, the only thing that we can really endure anything in life is agape love. And it says God is love. And it's that we need. And we get it in the body, we get it in the Word, we get it through the Holy Spirit. And we just have to be persistent about getting what we need. And eventually we can handle it, you know. There are things that happen that we just can't talk about because they're so hard and painful. But we can leave it, drop it, and believe that we don't have to talk about it. But we can go on and believe that love will heal me and love will help me and the pain will get less and less, you know. If we have lost loved ones, we will meet them again. And just say it in your heart. We'll meet again. We'll meet again. You know, that's all. That's how we live. That's agape love. There's no solution. It just is what it is, and I'm living with it, and agape love is going to take care of me and help me, and I'll be okay. And that's how we live, right? Okay, Pastor Ken Davis is amazing, one of my heroes, and his lovely wife, Katie.
I was just thinking before we started this, started talking now, I just remember Pastor Schaller from, I think it was, and I'm not sure if it was 87 or 88, Malmö, Sweden. Do you remember the Salvation Army building and the square? And and I think I was 23 or something at the time, I'm not sure. And I know I look at now still and I realize that, But it was, we were listening to a message and very young in the church, and I remember you talking, and I just was sharing the table here. I had some kind of a stubborn habit. You know, it had to do with tobacco, I believe. It was like snus. Are you familiar with that? The Swedish snus? It's probably something like that, you know. All the young men were doing it at the time, and I think I picked it up, and from my brother-in-law, I believe. And I heard you talking a message about, I believe it was, you brought up just some, even kind of casually maybe, it was in the message about we don't need cigarettes or something like that. I don't know. And it wasn't necessarily cigarettes, but I remember being free at that moment from that habit. I never touched it again after that. Never touched tobacco again after that. And it was a habit. And I was just thinking about how blessed, you know, I was, of course, to meet the ministry. And just what the Word of God and the anointing at any given moment can do in our lives. And that just set me free, you know. And when we usher people into that environment, which we do, you know, as pastors, and we're soul winning or whatever, we're ushering people into that. Because we know there's deliverance for them there. And when they come in and they hear the word and the body life. And that's something I just remember all the time too. You know, I lived in South Trebaudon. You remember South Trebaudon, that area there?
Yeah.
And, I remember getting visitors from the church would come and visit me, and this is really new to me. I'd never experienced that before, and I said, why are these people showing up? You know, it's kind of like, you know, I just don't understand this. And, but it just really spoke to me, and I saw the body life in them, in the body at the time. You know, Wood Horn was my first pastor in the church in Stockholm at the time. And, but I saw this life that I didn't have, and I was hungry for it. And I saw this body life, and it just really just spoke to me so deeply, you know. And even to this very day, I think back at those times where that love of the body was just really drawing me in, you know, and it really set me free. And I just I'm so thankful for those times, and thankful for the body of Christ, thankful for the Bible speaks greater grace, and just so thankful for that. So. Anyway, I'm sorry, just to throw this out there, but Pastor Ray Kosiolek, we've been have a lot of exchange with the church in Carlisle. My wife and I are living in Hershey now. We were in Nicaragua for about 3 years, and but he's in the hospital now, and he really needs prayer. His heart rate has gone really low, and so if you think about Pastor Ray Kosiolek, so let's just pray for him. Thank you.
So we have Pastor Sterling. Would you like to share from Brooklyn? Tell us a little bit about the... Feel free, you can ask a question or make a comment about the ministry, or tell us something about New York City that is decent and civil. Invite us all there.
Oh,
really? Let's go, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Now, tonight we're going to have a song called...
Oh. I know who I am.
I know who I am.
Do you know who you are?
Yeah, who you are.
I'm so blessed to be, you know, here in this convention. I think this is my 60th convention. I'm just joking. he asks everyone that's over 60 to stand. And people couldn't believe that I'm 63 years old, July.
Wow.
You know, but it's because of being hid under the word and in the body, you know. And Brooklyn, you know, thank God so much that the Bible Speaks found us in Brooklyn, New York, in 1979. My pastor, Pastor Moses. I heard the Bible Speaks in Lenox on the radio in Manhattan at his job. And I love to tell the story because one pastor received it and the whole congregation was blessed by the panoramic vision of the finished work and the grace message. And even though we didn't know how to articulate this finished work and this grace message, this agape love, you know, but God had a man to hear this certain sound. And all the way back then, you know, God has just continued to bless Brooklyn with this message, an oasis down there in the heart of Haiti, in the heart of India. I mean, Brooklyn has all these different cultures and nationalities right in our area. And right there in the midst of it is an oasis. I'm talking about the finished work message, the gospel right there. And I'm so thankful to this church and Dr. Stevens calling and ministering to Pastor Moses. You know what? I find out that as you follow a man that follows Christ and loves God like God loves him, all you have to do is just be simple. And in Brooklyn, you know, all we do is just keep our focus, stay in the ship, and the body is growing. the body is growing so great. The ministry is growing. I've been the pastor, the lead pastor there. It's been 4 years now, and I still don't know what I'm doing. But I know where to go. I know where what to expect. That God will lead me as long as I stay under this word, this lovely word, and a man of God. Pastor Schaller, you know, I just wanted to say, everybody, it's an amazing thing to follow someone that loves God and loves the word and loves the spirit. It's an amazing thing that God really divinely directs your steps and orders your steps. And to say, you know, about, and thank God for my wife. Yeah. I had to say that because somebody said in the message, you know, don't say she's a problem. You remember that? Don't say that she's a. You remember what they said? Yeah, I'm glad you don't remember, because I don't want to remember. She's just a beautiful person. But just in light of what we're doing in Brooklyn, we're just staying connected with life. I'm not talking about with knowledge, but with life, with specific messages, you know, from this headquarters and from all of you that are part of this body. I don't know what to say, but that you are an expression of the character and nature of God when you keep your eyes on the pulpit, or you keep your eyes on Jesus. When you do that, wherever I go, whether it's in, we had the missions conference in Marlboro, or if I go to Budapest, or if I go wherever it is, I see the very expression of Jesus Christ in your life speaking to me and saying, I love you. In such a beautiful way. Our church in Brooklyn is growing with new people coming in. And I'm always inviting the body of Christ in our ministry to come to Brooklyn, because I want people to see the life that is totally different from this natural realm. I want them to see this life that is way beyond the natural thinking. This life is real, and you are real, and you're a living testimony of the reality of Jesus Christ. I'm just so blessed to be a part of this ministry. And Pastor Schaller, I do have a question. The question is, how do you know for surety that you speak about love, and you speak about a love that is way beyond us? 1 Corinthians 13 gives a description of love, and then in Jude it says, keep yourself in this love. And how is it, you know, that, you know, every time I come around this body and the people that are here, how is it that okay, this is how I'm trying to explain it. This is a beautiful week, but I like real deal things. In Brooklyn, we deal with real stuff. You do over here too. I'm just saying. In Brooklyn, I like to get in people's face and say, after everything is said and done, the word that you heard is not just words, but it's life and it's spirit. So when you leave the mountaintop and you go into the valley to continue to have what we have experienced up here, how is it possible to have a ministry to continue to keep their focus on what I heard? This was an awesome weekend. The Holy Spirit put little impressions on my spirit to say, you remember what you heard. And it's going to come up in a test, in a trial, in a situation. And it's not going to come up when you think it's going to come. It's going to come up when you're unexpected. How do I continue what I'm receiving now? How do I continue to speak this to the body? Or how continue to let this life flow in the body? Because this is real stuff. This is like mountaintop experience. But you know what? When you go back into your marriage, when you go back into your congregation, when you go back to the daily details, God wants this manifestation not to just be talked about, but it needs to be manifested in the reality of our situations. As a pastor to the congregation, I just want to continue to keep this flow going. So I hope you understood what I was saying.
Yeah, thank you. Here's a good question for everybody. Do you believe that this is a true principle, that you get some enlightenment or some instruction, and then it's somehow tested? You know, do you believe that? Yeah, I do too. So that's important that we would all be in agreement on that. Turn to your neighbor and say, I agree. I have my doubts, but I agree. Okay. Okay. All right, now. All right, so we got that settled, okay? That there's light that comes, and then there's some kind of a test. This is now what happens is that not only do I have the understanding, but now it's like under stress. It's being tested. God gave the word. And by the way, Deuteronomy 8:3, I led you into the wilderness to teach you that you don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Okay. Romans 5, verse 3. No. Yeah, 3. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations. So that's a big one. We glory in tribulation. But why would I glory in tribulation? Why would I, like, maybe even invite them or take it on? Bring it on, baby. Bring it on. One of our people that came in from went through customs, and the customs agent said, good to have you here, baby. And they were an American, they said it too. Good to have you here, baby. And he said, those words were so beautiful. She called me baby. Okay. Verse 3 says, we glory in tribulation, and knowing that tribulation works what? Patience. Okay. So Pastor Sterling is saying, I have the doctrine, and there's like one side. I know the subject in one way. But now I will be in some kind of a stress, you know, some kind of. Psalm 12 says that the Word of God is purified in the furnace of earth 7 times. What is the furnace of earth? I think my body is made from the earth, right? And maybe the Word of God is put in a furnace of earth, is put in my body, and the Word of God is purified 7 times. It's already pure, but now in me, it's under stress, or it's going to be, you know, proven to be what it is. So then it says, patience works experience. And experience is important in life. I mean, I think we all know when I'm 20 years old is different from when I'm 40 and when I'm 60, you know. Like, the experience has value. And you're able to kind of like just, you know, sift through things in life and kind of see what's the more important thing. And then it says experience produces hope. And imagine if you have like a church that's filled with people who have received doctrine, have been through the stress trials, you know, gone through things, has patience, and has experience and has hope. And then it says the hope is a certain kind where there's no hope, ashamed. You're not ashamed. Your hope is increasing. Like in it says, hope makes not ashamed. There is a hope that is in the world like that can leave you ashamed. Can anybody give me an example? I hope I win the lottery. Okay, you know, 1 week later we check with you. I'm not talking about it. Okay. Hope that leaves me ashamed is a hope where, you know, it may not happen. But this kind of hope is another kind where you are actually not ashamed. Like, if you think about your past and living in the doctrine, you actually are increasing in confidence, not shame. Look in the world, you find people whose hope that has shamed them. You know, they didn't get this or they didn't get that. And we also have those things in our life. Let's say I lost a job or I lost a child or I lost a marriage or I foreclosed on my house and everything. But even those things that would shame me are not really that strong because I'm living by the reality that doesn't shame me. What is the reality that does not shame me? Is Christ, right? If I'm increasing in Him, I am increasing in that which does not shame me. You know, I'm not, you getting older, but it's not a shame. Because the inner man is renewed day by day. You know, you are losing things maybe in one way, but I'm not ashamed because I'm increasing in the real treasure. So, Pastor Sterling is saying, how can I keep my church on track in the Spirit? I think meeting often is helpful. I think encouraging them to listen to the Word on a regular basis. I think them understanding that their lives are going to be tested. Testing is a strong word. I don't mind it, but maybe under stress is maybe a better way. Like when you test a metal, you don't want to destroy the metal. You just want to put the metal under stress. When you test drive a car, you don't want to ruin the car. You want the car to be under some stress, you know, to find out, to know what it is. Same with people. Like, we want to know, what is the doctrine? What does it really mean? Does it leave me ashamed or not? But actually, we are increasing in our confidence and assurance. You know, so it is fun when you see it in the body where people are really increasing. And I think this week is like one of those times when we kind of check with each other. You know, not verbally like checking, but more just by bearing witness to the Spirit in us that, hey, we're on track, we're moving in the Lord, we're being encouraged, and we will not be ashamed. At the end of the day, we'll not be ashamed. Can you imagine somebody saying, I have followed the Lord for 20 years and I've been left high and dry. I got nothing. I don't like it. I'm leaving. I deny it all, and so on. You know, you pity the person because they got something wrong in the foundation. But if you meet the other ones, like let's say Pastor Mati or the people in this room or our heroes in the faith, and we just see them and are with them, we just say, wow. I mean, we that believe will not be ashamed. Let me say it. I hope I'm not being confusing anybody here, but we could say it shortly this way. In the world, when somebody talks to you and they say, how are you doing? What do they mean? What do you think? In the business world, when they say, how are you doing? What do they mean? Yeah, how much money are you making? How are you prospering? You know, maybe health-wise in the hospital, how are you doing? What do they mean? You know, what's your blood pressure? You know, okay. But in our Christian faith, when they say, how are you doing? What do we mean? Yeah, like, you know, we're in the people business. It's really, so in the business world, when they say, how are you doing? What if the man said something incredible, like, I made $10 million last year? Okay, that's like a huge, that's almost an obscene number. Okay, that's huge, okay? That's amazing. But what if he made $10 million, but he's really not doing well? What if he's depressed? What if he made a lot of money, but he's not? And with us, we are not ashamed. Like, how are you doing? Like, I'm investing in people. There's somebody that's coming to Christ. There's growth. Our church is increasing. I have joy. I'm just so thankful. I'm just so blessed. I am so encouraged in what I'm believing more than ever. You know, I'm increasing in Him. So, in one hand, you know, the measurement is actually not the measurement that we use. They use other measurements, but the one that we use is this one. That actually I have an affirmation in my heart that what I have believed is true. And I'm more persuaded than ever. It's another way of saying I am maturing. I am growing. And the church is growing and increasing. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. So do you want to talk to your neighbor for a second? Then we'll keep on going. We got a couple more here. Okay, Matt wants to share something.
Okay. My name's Matt Brenton. I'm from the body in Lee, Massachusetts. And I just wanted to share how thankful I am to be here this week, and just thankful for the love of the body. And last night during the Missions March, I was sitting in my seat, and I was like so appreciative of the love in the body more than I ever have been. And I don't know, it's sometimes I've taken it for granted in the past, but I was just so thankful. And one of the pastors said, don't leave this church, and I'm taking that with me after this week. So
okay, Brian in Alberta. Pastor Brian in Alberta from Ohio.
Ohio. It's funny you said, don't look at that, right? It's funny you said that, because last night I was just blown away. You know, we've been in Ohio for, 10 years now. And not that you forget academically, like just the body life here and that, and the appreciation, but last night, you know, I was just overwhelmed with it, so much than I've ever been. It's like people are getting here early. First of all, coming in, you had to wait outside. It's like it brought back some memories of going to a rock concert or something, trying to buy a ticket. You know, camping out overnight so you can beat the rush to get in there. You know, and people doing this going to church. It's not normal.
We were the ones
rushing
to the door.
Yeah, it's not normal. Ohio's a nice place, but I almost want to say it's spiritually dead. Even there's a lot of churches, there's a lot of awesome believers and stuff there, but the body life is not there. You know, we fellowship with a lot of different people in a lot of different churches. You know, spend time with different pastors and a lot of different churches there, and they're awesome people, and they love God. But to try to explain the body life, you just can't. You know, we try to get them to come here to experience it and to have more, to see the abundant life that God has promised us. You know, in John 10:10 there. And it's just hard to explain. But when I was here last night, to see the love, the excitement, the people for the word, you know, when we go or wherever God ends up leading us to, you know, this is what I want to be a part of. This is what I want to be able to convey and to share and to get people excited into the word of God and in the body life and experience it. You know, the faith fields that were just happening, that happens here, it's just phenomenal. And we just love it and missed it, and we're just blessed to be here. Thank you.
And this is what I'm going to add to all of that, because this is just who I am. You know, in Ohio, we had done several VBSs, but this song stuck with me this morning so much. I felt like jumping up on the stage and singing it, and so I want to share it with you. It's really short, but I want you to go back and sing it to your church so that they can sing it to other people, okay? And it just is so simple. It says, God loves people more than anything. God loves people more than anything. More than anything, he wants you to know. He'd rather die than let you go. 'Cause God loves people more than anything.
Oh, I could hear that every day, huh? Can you put that on a DVD or something? See the. Okay, Pastor Richard and Gina, we're so glad to have you here. It's great. And Sabina and Lydia, okay.
Wow, greetings again from Indiana. We have Dave here. This is his second convention here. It's awesome. Yeah, and I just wanted to, if I could, share a thought about love. And I was thinking of when John wrote to the church in 1 John 3:16, just describing herein is love, and that he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for one another. And if you can follow this with me, Genesis 2:7, man was created out of the dust. And because of sin, in Genesis 3:19, man would go back to the dust. And the curse upon the serpent in verse 14, the serpent would feed upon the dust. Now, as life is going, God makes it rain on the just and the unjust alike. Matthew 5:45. And anybody knows when it rains, what happens to the dirt? It turns into mud. So you have man's foundation of dust turning into mud, which creates what I like to call in Psalm 40 verse 2, the horrible pit. And we fall in there. And here is the victory that God has reached down and snatched us out of a horrible pit. And it says it's out of the miry clay, and he sets my feet upon a rock. Now, this is the love of Christ, that in John 1:14, the Word became flesh. And of course, flesh was dust. It was dirt. We're made out of the dirt. But in order for God to express his love to us, God himself became flesh, dirt. Romans 8:3, he condemned sin in his flesh, in his dirt. And this is that love that we have. Wherever we go in the world, I could go to any one of our churches in the world, and the same experience of love is there. You have these people made up of dust, but there is something inside of that dust, and it's the love of Christ. And in Psalm 103, verse 14, it says that God understands our frame, that we are but dust. That's all we are. Apart from God, that is who we are. But when Christ comes in, the dust means so much more. Now the dust can love. Now the dust can express grace. Now the dust can have loving kindness and long suffering and patience and endurance. But we are but dust. And that is an amazing thing to us. And this love that we have, it's not just this superficial thing, but it's an eternal source of love that is expressed every time we are in the experience of Christ loving us. And I really enjoy this week convention and experiencing the presence of God. And I don't know what it is, Pastor Shiloh. It's when we come here, and of course we get it back in Indiana and wherever we go, but it's something about God's people coming together in this unified love that just opens up new thinking for us. Opens up this unseen dimension of the love of God and God wanting us to have this expression of himself. And I'll close with this. I was sharing with Pastor Jason the other day, and I said, I feel like I'm getting more from God than I've ever gotten. And I thought that maybe I'm getting more, not because God is giving me more, but because I'm having more of an understanding. When God has given, he has given it all. We just don't comprehend it all at once. So as we begin to grow, we enter into new experiences with God. So.
Thank you, Pastor. Good word. Beautiful word, yeah. And there were a couple of people that came with you, Pastor Richard?
Yes, they are some.
The brother here, there's a brother here, and then there's another couple. Yep. Okay. Yep.
They
Let's see, who else do we have? Pastor Murphy or... Beautiful. Pastor Muhib does a little Bible study over the border in New Jersey. And I went there to this little town. I've been all over the world. I mean, you know, many countries, everything. This little town is one of the dumpiest, dirtiest, most dilapidated, most oppressed little towns I've ever been in. The liquor store is busy with people coming and going. Drugs are rampant. It's a devastated community. And there's a little house on the main street there. And there's a little box. And this little auntie, little woman inside, has a little box out there for prayer. And people can stop by and put a little prayer request in a little box. And then she's inside praying. She takes the prayer requests and prays, you know. And the alcoholics and the drug addicts that are walking by, they'll put a prayer request in the box. You know, it's her way, you know what I mean? And then Pastor Muhib, he's ordained, and he just has it in his heart. He goes up there, and he brought two gentlemen came down for service. It's an hour and 15 minutes or so from here. But I love it. I mean, I don't know. I know what you're saying, like up in New England. I know because I'm from that kind of a family. There's no change, you know. We're Catholics, not even thinking about ever changing anything, you know. But here's the point. There are things that people cannot handle. One of them is death. And you don't have to talk about religion. You can just speak to the heart. I'm not saying I can tell you anything. You know all of this. I'm just repeating it for our sakes. You know, it's like I don't need to have a church. I can reach people in a coffee shop. He reaches people in a pizza shop. He's never had a church service in the town, but he goes to the town every week. He's never had a church service. In my opinion, we don't want one. We don't need a church service. I think they can be boring. And they can misrepresent. But if you can, in the pizza shop, teach somebody, if you can lead somebody, if they can get on fire, if they can get saved, you know, if God answers prayer, this is what it is. Jesus, in a way, Jesus didn't have church meetings, did he? Jesus had, you know, confrontations on the street, and he had healings and miracles. And he preached on the mount. You know what I mean? So I'm not telling this to you. I'm just kind of stirring up my own heart in it. How would I reach people in upstate New York that are not changing? Well, everybody has some relative that's going to die, that has died or is going to die, and they don't have an answer. You know, they might have religion, but they don't have an answer. Nowadays, people have relatives that are dying of drugs. It's going to be touching every family, you know. Families have problems. I don't want to say that. I'm sorry for saying it that. But every family will know somebody who knows somebody who's had an overdose or has a problem. And where's the comfort and where's the answer, you know? And we don't need... I mean, I believe in meetings, but what I'm saying is if people come into a meeting and they're not touched by God, you know what I mean? We need it. And here, I'm talking for ourselves here in Baltimore. We have a lot of visitors, but I'm not satisfied with the number of salvations. We don't have enough salvations. It should be 10 or 15 every service, in my opinion. So, when convention is over and we get into our routine, I want to do Friday night prayer. Friday night prayer only for Sunday. I mean prayer for Sunday. I mean prayer for the ministry. But on Friday night and just for some hour, just have a group of people. Because we got to see more of these miracles, you know, real changes and just some more amazing things happen. And we have had them. Do you know, if you go out this road here, go down to Route 40, go up, go east a little bit, park in the back of a store, walk out up under the train tracks, go down the train tracks, walking 100 yards, go off into the woods. The homeless people are camped out there. And they say there's 650 people living back in there. And we have a ministry back there. And some of them come here. And some of them get off of drugs. Some of them, you know. And there's all the problems, you know what I mean, that you can imagine. And what I mean is maybe the only answer for any of this is prayer. I know, I believe our country needs prayer. Our president needs prayer. Our government needs prayer. And we've gone way far away. But I think it happens every generation. And we have been blessed as a nation to come to God, you know, like some, like the Billy Graham era and so on. So let's believe God for a great year, and let's see some really great things happen, you know. Okay, we got Mr. Sullivan over here from Las Vegas. We got Pastor David over here from... We can wrap it up. Is there anybody else I'm missing? We got the girls here from Cape Cod, right? Janet, one of them. Cape Cod, and that's with David LeBlanc, Pastor David. And he's trying to get a building. He wants to get a building. And mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful. And I think he puts us on public access TV in
yes.
Cape Cod. So our service here in Baltimore is put on public access TV in Cape Cod, which is cool. His efforts. Oh, it's only in Sandwich, okay. Which has 42 people in it. But 42 is more than enough. Okay. All right. So, anything? Yes. Ed Sullivan from Las Vegas.
It's funny when it's been a couple of years since I've been back here, and seeing you, there's always comes to mind the first time I met you. I don't know if you recall it. You were in Hungary. It was in 92. Want to say June, July, whatever. I came out with a summer harvest, and I don't remember who had asked, but somebody said, well, how do you keep starting churches? You know, how do you take over areas like at that point that used to be under communism and such oppression? And your answer always echoes in my mind when I look at Las Vegas, because it's a desert town. It's a little crazy. There's about a billion churches. And your answer resounds in my mind as, well, I don't know. God said whatever your foot touches is yours. So I just, you know, room. And I know it's funny, and it is kind of a joke, but it's something that builds us up, where it's like, you know, two of the spies said we should go into the land. And they were right. They were coming out of the desert, and I can relate to that. And God really has given us anything that we put our foot to. So what we try to do is we just move forward. We don't worry about it. In some respect, we close our natural eyes and don't pay attention to the opposition, and we just continue going forward. And that's what we're doing in Las Vegas. We go down to some of the tourist areas on Saturdays. Joyce goes almost every week, because Joyce is awesome, by the way. Rejoice. And they wear signs, or they wear shirts that say, you know, got prayer. So they need prayer. And they have people come up, and they ask for prayer. Like, you know, these are half the time they're drunk and a little bit crazy. But the need is always there. And even in a city like Las Vegas, the needs are the same as it is anywhere else. You know, God has really blessed us with a pastor out there, and we're thankful for Pastor John Perkins, because he's amazing. And I know everybody, almost everybody in this room probably knows John Perkins. He is an amazing, amazing man, and we thank God for him every day.
Thank you. Pastor David, you want to wind it up? Just a word. Did you bring any folks here, or do you want to say a word or
comment? Yeah, I was telling Jen before how wonderful the flow of the week was with a different change. Like, old people don't like change so much, but when we came here, there were different logistics, but the Spirit was really gentle and kind and wonderful to all of us. And then the only other thing I'd encourage you with, I just finished reading a book on the Wright brothers, Orville and Wilbur. Yeah. Their father was a bishop. They ended up in Ohio. And the story is fascinating. Born-again guys who were in their house, they said, the best life is to empty yourself and sell everything and move to Ohio. That was their motto. So that's the Wright brothers, and they had something to do with all of us being here today. So I want to encourage you on that. But one of the things that we're thinking about all the time now is my wife's up with her parents. Her father's very ill, and we've been once in a while going to the Mennonite church where she grew up in. And I'm amazed that on Sunday mornings only, these people gather, love Christ with their whole heart, preach kind of the same message, group together. They let the kids in the service. There's, you know, hundreds of people in her church, and it's like that everywhere in Lancaster County. And Sunday morning, and they've been in business since 1524. So we're not a Sunday morning church, and I thank God we're you know, I asked one of the elders there, I said, how do you guys do it? He said, we're connected in our history to a huge movement, and Christ is the rock of that movement. And we continue on, and we just live what we are told to live by on Sundays. And now some of them, when the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of them, they started Wednesday night prayer. They have the same issues and problems of any other church, but we are the fortunate ones who have this corporate body baptism that was given to us as a heritage in our ministry in this great country of ours. And you have something, and like Pastor Shower said, you have a vocabulary and you have something that you have experienced as a Christian that most people haven't. We don't boast in that, but you are available and stay available and ready to, like, drive an hour and a half. I've been driving to Savannah, Georgia for the last 15 years, and we don't have a church there, but we have so many people we're connected with. It's such a wonderful thing. I've been driving to Enfield, Connecticut for the last 30 years, and we don't have a, you know, there is a Greater Grace Church there, but I have prison guys all over the place who come out and go in and come out, and, I mean, you can't bury your influence. You are a corporate Pentecost hero of the faith, each one of you. And this country needs that baptism, not some, you know, new prosperity thing, or not some new tingling emotional doctrinal issue that would fill your pews, but we need people to understand that we're part of members of the body of Christ, and I'm so thankful to be a member of the body, as I know all of you are, in this country of ours, and we can do great exploits. Amen? So let's pray and close. Thank God for Pastor Schauer and the whole staff here who have really laid down their lives all week for us. Thank you. Yeah. Actually, when we all leave here, they just go into rehab or something. They're just I don't know where they go, but they come back with it over and over again. So thank God. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for each and every one here. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for your presence, for your spirit. Thank you that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are your people, and your plan for our lives is so perfect. And we've heard so much about so many facets of our Christian life. We're so thankful for the body of Christ. And we're thankful for this place that we call our home base, and what it means to all of us in the unique ways. And just bless each one as we travel on, wherever it is we go. Give us vision. Give us sensitivity and patience, and allow us to just have a right word for hurting Christians, for crippled Christians in this life that we meet, for casualties of ministries that we meet. Give us a ministry to so many who are hurting and out there, and allow our families to also come to get to know you through our ministries. They may never step foot in our churches, but they're always in our homes, and we ask that you would bless that aspect of our ministries as well to each and every one. And I thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.